Almighty and Eternal Father, again we thank Thee for our opportunity of worshiping You in spirit and in truth. Thy children and Thy household aware of our origin, recognizing that Thou art God and have willed and ordered the destiny of Thy people, hath established before us the blueprint of Thy purposes and make these things known unto us through Thy word. We pray that You will immunize us from the propaganda and the forces of darkness that would seek to negate in the mind of Thy people Thy will and Thy way and Thy word. Cause us again to seek Thy face, to be guided by Thy instruction, to carry out the objectives of Thy kingdom, and to not permit ourselves to be swayed from its course by the persuasion of the forces of evil. We pray for our nation tonight as a great nation of Thy kingdom, for the realization that all the nations of Thy kingdom have a destiny to perform, that Thy kingdom shall survive, and Thy kingdom shall grow, and so before it every knee shall bow to proclaim that Thou art God. So in this hour of our meditation, grant unto us again a reevaluation of the conditions through which we pass, an understanding of the strategies which are being used against us, out of the prophecies of victory which belong unto us as Thy household. So we say, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, praying Thy blessing to rest upon the spiritual center of Thy kingdom, Thy church, and upon Thy household and family, which make up Thy citizenship in the earth. So we, as we commit ourselves into Thy hand, pray for the guidance and the revelation of Thy Spirit. In Thy name we ask it. Turn tonight in our discussion of war against the dragon. Ever-increasing realization tonight that this great nation of God's kingdom, all the nations of Christendom today are nations of God's kingdom. That it is made up specifically of a certain people, a people that make up the family of God in heaven and in earth, a people that carry His name, people that are His posterity and His household and heirs, therefore, to His inheritance of the earth. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are talking about white nations. We are talking about Christian nations, and no other people in the world tonight make up God's kingdom. We're talking about the area of the development of that kingdom till ultimately it extends from one end of the earth to the other. The blueprint of the Bible does not allow for an eventual agreement made with the powers of darkness that will permit a program of coexistence. We leave this area of operation and action to the uninformed and to those that are brainwashed or controlled by the powers of darkness. And unfortunately, we have this in the very areas of presidential administration. Acquiescence, coexistence, peace with evil, all of these are made to look attractive and good. But the processes of God's kingdom makes no peace with evil, does not desire to coexist with evil, does not desire to share administration of the earth, but lays out a blueprint for complete and total sovereignty of the kingdom of the Most High God. Now the instances of God's grace and the demonstration of the magnitude of His grace and His mercies are demonstrated that even over the long course of the thousands upon thousands of years of violations of divine law by a fallen archangel, and all the struggles that have involved the universe, the magnitude of the nature of God demands that they be broken in their power, made to bow the knee, and then restored to the subservient place that they are to have in the universe of God. So in the vastness of God's pattern and program, the ultimate demonstration of His grace and the other magnitude of His power to reach out and reform and change all things is demonstrated. But in the course of the pattern of divine history, there has never been any release given to the children of God from fulfilling the responsibility and destiny to which they must measure up to as the sons and daughters of God. Nor has the transference of your race as a species and being, children of the Father, begotten in the Spirit and placed in the earth as the Adamic children, they have not by this transfer been released from any of the responsibilities of demonstrating their divine nature and their origin, and ultimately using the powers which have been made manifest in them for the conquest of darkness. When we today talk about the struggle for the earth goes a lot farther back than our present battle against world communism. It goes a lot farther back, my friends, than just the political struggle as it now exists. It goes back into the antiquity of ageless yesterdays, when the struggle for power did not only include the earth, but included the universe, in which the forces of darkness, led by an archangel, whose symbol of power was across the whole structure of the great dragon of the heavens and was the dominant control of all the Milky Way. An archangel who had his authority and power by the commission bestowed upon him by the Most High. An archangel whose jealousy reached unprecedented demonstration when it was found in him because he refused to recognize that the multitudes of the children of God, because they were the offspring of God, were greater in power than he was. In these instances, we note that one of the strangest designs of all pattern was the concept that an archangel could overthrow God. The policies that transpired, the patterns of great antiquity, give us its record. 12th chapter of Revelation tells us that there was war in the heavens. The name and title bestowed upon this rebellious one has been one of semantics that has remained unchanged from the ancient word, earliest in ancient languages, Shaitan or Satan, refusing to reflect the light, and therefore devil or devios or the turner away from the line of truth. And so we have an archangel who became known as Satan, and people called him the devil because this was a process of recording the fact that he had taken to a way that was deviously opposite to the program of God's kingdom. In the instances of the antiquity of history, there are certain things that must be remembered, and they must be made known to those that do not know them, because one of the great problems we have today across America, there are thousands upon thousands of Christians who are aware that their land is in a great dilemma. They're aware that under the strategies of agitation, race crisis and race war exists, that Negroes are disturbed and led by their demagogues and by influence all out of proper balance. That there are powers of darkness that are seeking to control our nation and to steer us into the avenues of communism and to take us out from an area of independent sovereignty to one in which we're outvoted and outmaneuvered by all the pagans and the idolaters and all the races that are non-white upon the face of the earth. But they do not understand or know what this is all about from its point of origin. They think it's only a contemporary struggle on political ideologies based around the economic philosophies of Karl Marx and around the design of countries to carry out fanatically these objectives. Little do many of them realize that this is an age-old story and that our race has the background of its knowledge in these matters to be found in the revelations of the Word of God, to be found in the patterns of history which affect our race. You cannot study the history of the white race without studying the Bible. You cannot study the history of the white race without going into the antiquity of the records of sacred texts, though there's some 163 of these ancient texts known to man today that relate from the days of Adam to our time, the history of our race of the earth. It is most important for us to realize tonight that there is no area of information that is more vital to you in carrying out the fulfillment of your destiny than to know who you are, where you came from, and what you're here for. Nor is there any projects that you may launch upon in human endeavor that are more important than carrying out these objectives, which are a part of the plan of God and which guarantee you the greatest area of success, because they will be brought to pass. And I can assure you that when individuals do not follow out this course, they suffer the processes of not operating in the media to which they are adapted. Anytime you move outside of the areas of adaptation, you're in trouble. Now, one of the problems that we have today are too many people do not understand, therefore, that Lucifer, defeated by Michael the Archangel, an archangel at the command of your father, serving your family, carrying out his activities, sweeping the great hosts of heaven against the rebellious forces of space, and brought to defeat and drove into the Milky Way and out of its present massive areas and struggles above into this little solar system of ours, which is but a part of this great portion of the universe. Michael defeated Lucifer, the archangel, now known as the great dragon, identified with the dragon of the sky, named and identified also as the prophetic dragon of time. I point out to you that if you turn to the book of Revelation, you read even in the 20th chapter of Revelation, and they laid hold on the dragon, who was none other than the serpent, which is the devil and Satan. Now, this is in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. I turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, in which it tells us that there was a war in the heavens, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought with his angels, but he did not prevail, and he lost his place and his power in the heavens above. And that great dragon was cast out up the upper heavens, and this dragon is the same old serpent known as the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he's cast out under the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, you don't have to guess at this. It's a clear, defined story of a tremendous defeat for a power that rebelled against your father. In fact, this is something that we realize many Christians do not know tonight. They do not know that God was literally their father, and their spirit entity, where their intelligent consciousness had its beginning, was begotten in the heavens ages before their earth existence. Your sojourning in the earth is a part of divine timing, and you have been born into the world through the Adamic race. Let us make this clear again tonight. The Adamic race is the white race. It does not reach outside of the white race. The white race tonight traces its history back to Adam. The genealogy of the embodiment of God as the man Christ Jesus traces its genealogy back to Adam. Someone said we shouldn't be interested in vain genealogies. No, don't pay any attention to vain ones, just the important ones. And the most important thing you can know tonight is that you're an Adamite, that you're a son of the Most High God, that you're a part of a race that he has ordained is going to conquer the dragon, going to take possession of the earth and rule it throughout the ages to come. I want you to realize today that every attempt is being made to mutate the concept of these truths. Every attempt is being made to suppress them, because the strategy is that if a people do not know who they are, what they're here for, they will not carry out these objectives. The dragon is very subtle and very cunning. He makes war against you in the earth. We are told that he goes to make war against your race. Your race is identified by symbols in the heavens. The great emblem of Virgo in the heavens, in the constellations, was your measure. And so, again, we see that you are the children of the household of the Most High God. You are a race which has its origin and has its title far before the days of Abraham, referred to by such as Enoch and others when God said, "You are my Israel. You are my ruling offspring. You are my household that rules with your divine association with me as God." Under this instance, this race is the household of the Most High. The white race, the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard peoples are the Israel of God. I want to cite tonight, lest there is some confusion here or among any listener that may hear this message, there is not a Jew on the face of the earth that is a part of God's Israel. I'm also going to say that every Jew on the face of the earth is an offspring of Lucifer and his dragon seed, and is stemmed from a dragon origin. I want to cite that every once in a while we have strange knuckleheads that pose as clergy throughout the nation, and they tell things that are not so. They say it's totally impossible for a fallen archangel or for an angel at all to have any seed or to propagate any seed in the earth. They say this is impossible because the angels of heaven cannot thus perform. But I want you to know that there's many statuses of angels in the heavens. The book of Enoch has this pattern of revelation. But the scripture also tells us it doesn't make any difference what the previous condition of these angelic orders were. If you turn to the book of Jude, you'll discover that these angels didn't keep their first estate, but they took upon themselves the same identical patterns as human form and mongrelized and sowed forth the seed with licentious lust among the peoples of earth, and having produced an unassimilatable race of fallen beings joined between the species of earth and of heaven, they became known as devils. And this is why so clearly Jesus turns to the devils in his time, some of whom had actually become the controlling influence in the areas of religion in Palestine, and said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He had one of them among his disciples, who was Judas Iscariot, and he said to this Jew, he said, "This one is a devil." And he told his disciples about it. This species, it's a being. Just as Lucifer, a fallen angel, becomes therefore in his fall a devil, his offspring are devils. And you can't make anything else out of Jews, no matter what you try to do to them today. Someone says, "Well, this is not properly fair. These people can't help the fact they're devils." No, no more than you can help the fact you're a white man, because your father begat you and propagated you. But do not be any less a realist tonight, because a rattlesnake can't help he's a rattlesnake, or an elephant is an elephant. Don't be any less a realist about the fact that you, Jake, don't take any chances with elephants or rattlesnakes. And I point out to you that the dragon has not only been defeated in Earth, and we would not review the great panorama of catastrophe that hit this little planet, this solar system, after he was defeated here. We do know the ancient Sumerians and others talked about the people that came with him, and if we go back to the writings of Enoch, we find that in Lucifer's rebellion, he went out to some of these planets, and he got axemen, and he made axemen and swordsmen as a warring instrument. Prior to this, had never been a war. Men only used axes to cut down trees and to work on types of vegetation throughout the universe. And so he got these people as axemen and decided if they could cut down trees with them, they could attack people. And Lucifer started the instruction and the process of the war. In those great space fleets in which he was defeated, the armies that Lucifer gathered were Negroes. Now in that day, they had a higher status and a higher civilization, a higher culture than they've ever attained since. But in the hour that they were persuaded to follow Lucifer, he enlisted them as axemen and swordsmen, and then was going to move them all over the universe to chop up everybody on God's side. They've been trying to chop up everybody ever since. Now, when they were defeated, they were driven to Earth, and the ancient Sumerian Empire, being out of Taurog dynasty, has over 600,000 years of background behind it. And so the Sumerians record the arrival of the ships of Lucifer. They record also in the panorama of this pattern how this great god, the chaos monster they called him, how he came, and with him he brought a strange new species to Earth, a dark and curly-headed people. But he discovers before very long, the historians of Sumer as well as those of the Indus, that these people were not as sharp and not as bright as the Taurogs. They discovered that they didn't have the capacities and were referred to as beast-like in comparison to the Sumerian. But in the panorama of the ancient Egyptian, whose history went back to Atlantis and whose Book of Horus tell about the background of these things, Lucifer sought to mix these Negro peoples with the peoples of Earth. He sought also to mix his own fallen angelic host with peoples of Earth and even among the Negroes themselves, and out of it became a species. A species elevated to areas of control over all false religions, and soon they were the manipulating powers of economy and seeking to dominate the earth. They were black, yellow, red, irrespective of society. They were the offspring of Lucifer. They were dragon seed. Now, strangely enough, there are two titles that were given to the Luciferian house. They're referred to by the dragon. They're also known as the symbol of Hydra the serpent. In some countries, the emblem of Luciferian power was used as a serpent, in others as the dragon, but always out of the pattern of antiquity, the identification remains. It still remains. Go down here on Beverly and take a good look at that synagogue, and you'll see they make that six-pointed star out of a serpent. You'll discover also that in the pattern of their identification, that in the days of Moses, leading the children of Israel, warned them about a strange bunch of people that were creating trouble for Israel all over. They'd made trouble in Egypt. Some of them came out of Egypt and were slinking along with Israel that they might do it again. So as we study what transpires in the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, when it tells about how the Lord's portion is his people and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance, it also talks about a very corrupt and evil generation whose mark of their countenance is not the mark of God's children. They're a perverse and a crooked generation. Well, the mark of their countenance is different than God's children, and this mark is quite obvious. Some silly false prophet on the air the other day said, "Woe unto anybody that points out the physiognomy of the Jew and says anything about it. This is what God looks like." Well, some people have a different kind of God than I have. They don't know my father. My father doesn't look like a Jew because he has no part of them. The Jew looks more like the devil than anybody I know, and even the devil now has his face lifted so he can fool people. In fact, it's quite a process. You go out here in Hollywood and you'll discover that about half of these stars that put out the immortal pattern of our day have had to have their face lifted so they look better, so they know they don't look as good as you do, and so they try to cover it up by changing their face. I don't know of anybody that's more anti-Jewish than a Jew that changes his face. The only way you go a little farther than that is the Jew that changes his name. Don't let somebody come along and say you're anti-Semitic because you're for the true house of Shem. But any time a Jew changes his name, he proves he's against Jews or he's ashamed of the Jews or he's trying to hide the fact that he is one. Now, if that isn't a guilt complex, what is? Now I turn back here to the writings of Moses. He says, therefore, there is this crooked and corrupt people. He says, they're a perverse and evil progeny. Now, the mark of their countenance is not the mark of God's children. It's the mark of a perverse progeny. Now, they sacrifice unto devils and not to gods, and gods who you do not know, and to new gods who your fathers never heard of. And of the rock that begat thee, that they would make thee unmindful. Therefore, God saw these evil people, and he abhors them, because they would like to provoke his sons and his daughters to err and to idolatry. So God makes it real clear that these Jews are no relatives of his, but you who are, and the race that is, they would provoke to turning away from the true God, and they would make a evil to descend upon his sons and his daughters. Now let's take a careful look again. The scripture talks about them, and the Most High said, therefore, their rock, their foundation of their origin and their background is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves will be the judge, says Moses, for their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. I think there's one thing people need to learn all over the nation, and that is that what is the vine of Sodom? What exactly is meant by the fields of Gomorrah? For in this ancient area near the plain of Shinar, Sodom and Gomorrah was the most vicious, most violent, most impure, rotten society of all time, where fallen angelic hosts and perverted and twisted monstrosities and all kinds of perverted evil that ran to the passions of all evil lust had its maturity. Here, unassimilatable offspring of these devils, mongrelized and intermixed in the most licentious pattern of perversion until today, out of the very names of these cities comes names of perversion that linger down to our time. Oh, you say, well, fortunately, we don't have a condition like Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't have a condition like this normal to our society. But we've got a condition like this in Hollywood. We've got a condition like this in Washington, D.C. Just a few weeks ago, the perverts got together, and they wanted civil liberties for perverts, and they wanted all laws taken away that would bar their type of evil conduct. And so they were even coming out and appearing before Senate committees to testify that their rights were being infringed on. I tell you, a great Christian nation shouldn't have rights for perverts because they don't deserve it. In fact, we'd be better off if we liquidated them for the preservation of our race. That, of course, is in keeping with the laws of the Most High God. One of these days, our laws will all conform to those of the Most High God, and there'll be a lot of things that'll be missing around. Sodom and Gomorrah, you are told also over in the writings of in the book of Jude, you have some, in the writings of Peter, you have certain mention concerning this. The seventh verse of the book of Jude talks about these angels that didn't keep their first estate. So they didn't keep their first estate. It don't make any difference what their estate was before. They were now begetting children in a mongrelization of lust and violence upon the face of the earth. And they were as the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which had given themselves over to all manners of fornication and intermingling of strange flesh, mongrelization of races, and integration on the level that brought the vengeance of the eternal judgment. Now this is the scripture I'm reading. So we get a little pattern of what Sodom and Gomorrah is like. And we find here, therefore, that these people, this offspring, this strange progeny, these Jews, have this kind of a concept, this kind of a psychology. They live with this kind of philosophy, and their thoughts and their processes is to produce an immoral corruption for the degeneration of society everywhere. Now, it tells me, therefore, that their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Now, we also have a vine, but we talk about a different vine. And we say concerning this that the eternal Christ, who is the embodiment of God, is the vine, and we are the branches. We are not of the vine of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are of the household of the Most High God. The world tonight is in contest. The dragon seed is the vine of Sodom. Now, I read, therefore, that the wine of their poison is the seed of the dragon, the cruel venom of the serpent. No wonder Jesus turned to them in the days of his contest and sees degeneration of the viper who warns you to flee from the judgments of that are to come. Now I characterize the fact that warfare has been fought by these forces of darkness against your race ever since it arrived. The magnitude of God's great blessing and grace was demonstrated in his sending your race to earth to overthrow the power of the dragon and to liberate the world from the superstition and the hypnotic influences of such great evil. There is no way today for us to accomplish our responsibility as a Christian church, as the society of God's family, or as the kingdom of God, unless we recognize what we're here for, what the Bible says we're here for, and what the Bible says is the end of these things. Anytime you try to go against the destiny of God, why, you just are beating your head against the rock. Well, that destiny is going to be followed out. All I need to do is find out what God's for, what way he's going, what he wants done, and go that way and win. Some people don't realize this. They think right now the popular trend is to the United Nations, to the one world government. They're bowing and scraping and kowtowing for power. And it's only going to be a little time, and they're not even going to be doorkeepers in the house of God. A lot of them we're going to send into outer darkness, and they're going to live with the parasites and find out what it's like. I turn then to the book of Revelation. It says the dragon is very angry with your race. And it goes to make war against your race, and it seeks to persecute your race, whoever gets a chance. Now we discover that to your race was given the two wings of a great eagle. There's one thing about the emblem we have on the staff of our national emblems, the great outstretched wings of the eagle of these United States. 18th chapter of Isaiah says, "Ho, and salutations to this land of the outstretched wings of the eagle." Well, the one good thing about the eagle is it's the best dragon-killing bird I know. It goes out after vipers and it kills the serpent. It's always the enemy of the serpent. When that eagle goes into a dive and screams, you know that God has put his aerial forces in command. Now the dragon goes forth to make war against your race. But God says, one thing I raised up for in these latter days, I gave her the eagle nation. You want to know what your destiny is? Your nation is a destiny before God of gathering together the great structure of the white race. And after you have removed from authority the Kennedy gang and these forces that are working on the inside, and that wrath is about to rise up in your countenance, then, my friends, the nations of the world will rally behind you, and you're going to put the powers of darkness in order. Oh, you might not be able to move against the 5/6 of the world's population arrayed against you all by yourself. But you don't have to be selfish about this. God says you just give one little call for a little assistance, and I'll bring all the reinforcements of heaven. And Christ himself says, I don't want to miss this day. I'm coming in with a sword in my right hand. Someone said, that don't sound like Jesus. We'll wait and see. In fact, if you were to read some of the things he said out of the Gospels, you'd discover there's a lot of things some people don't know about Jesus. And that is, he's the Most High God, sovereign in his power, and he's not about to permit the forces of darkness to take over the world. Nowhere in his plan does it call for evil to take over the kingdom. When we talk about the world powers, the powers that are of this world order do not belong to your race. They belong to Africa, they belong to Asia, and they've been conquered by the powers of darkness. And so the beast may rule in world orders, but he's not going to rule over the nations of God's kingdom in this world. He has now under his control, by the control over the Iron Curtain, all of the children of the kingdom that he's ever going to get. And before this thing is over, we're going to save the tents of Germany, Judah first, and we're going to drive every one of these pagan forces out of every white land on the face of the earth. Now, don't let somebody come along and talk to you about the wonderful utopian evangelistic Bible conference day we're going to have when the whole world's going to get converted, and that's the alternative. There isn't any alternative to licking the devil first. The scriptures already tell me that he's going to make war. And out of the mouth of this serpent comes his serpent seed, which he casts out like the waters of a flood trying to swallow you up. tells me the very earth is going to help us as the natural forces of nature will join us in the battle, and a whole lot of these people are going to be swallowed up in the largest earthquake cracks that open up and come together the world's ever seen. You know, it'll be just like the earth reaching up and taking a big chomping bite out of the enemy. I think there's going to be some bites right here in Hollywood. They're going to be there a moment, and they're going to be gone afterwards, and there won't even be any splinters left. There's going to be some judgments which God's ordained as the earth fights for you. You say, how can you do that? Why, God's been just flicking his finger and making the earth shake and open up and close anytime he wants to. Every once in a while, someone comes along and says, well, this can't happen. It's not scientific. And so the earth opens up and closes again anyhow. I know where there's a crevice right now up here in the earth that opened up a few years ago. We told you it was going to happen in church the night before it happened, and it happened the next morning. You know that there is a great open crack right now in the earth over a mile deep. And some real adventurous geologists have already been lowered down on boats and chairs right down there to look at it, see? And then they come up, and they're real happy to get out because they never know when it might quiver again. By the way, I have never known of a Jewish scientist to go down that crack. And it tells me that the dragon is angry with the woman. I listened to one of those silly strong-arm preachers. Maybe I got it backwards or something. Anyhow, he came on the air. And he says, they are the chosen people. It is the woman who is the Jew that the dragon fights against. And the Jew's right, not the dragon's back. Try to tell us that the dragons fight the Jews? No, the Jew is the son of the dragon. And I'll prove to you that they're not talking about Jews, because it says here, the dragon makes war with your race and all that remain of the seed of your race who have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you had to fight the Jews, they had the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, you could put them all in this room. And then you wouldn't have any but those who had protested that they had this faith in order to get their hands in Christians' pockets. Someone said, don't you believe it's possible to convert a Jew only from a live one to a dead one? Now, I point out to you that when I talk about war against the kingdom, the dragon makes war. He makes the war in a most cunning fashion. He wages his war, and I turn again to the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. And when it talks here about the dragon, again, it says concerning this, that this dragon operates out of the areas of struggle against your society, and these are the spirits of devils. They come forth out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The great racial, ethnic household of satanic seed in the earth, mongrel, mutated, but evil, is the force of the dragon. And what are they here for? To make war against you. Now, we in the United States have an awareness that God has developed as we speak to you this afternoon. God has poured out his spirit, and he is pouring out his spirit and has been pouring it out in the last few years. It was destined to happen after the sign of the nuclear explosions and the end of the age, as Joel said. He's been pouring it out on his sons and upon his daughters. You say, what is it like? Well, you can't see it. But something stimulates them to start to respond to truth. And they start to think, and they listen and learn. I want you to know that the whole right-wing awakening in the United States is a move of God, as he has poured out the waves of his intelligent perception, and their consciousness has received this and turned in that direction. Oh, they don't know it all to start with. You didn't go to kindergarten and learn what you learned in the third grade. But what happens is much faster than you think. Some people first find a challenge that there's something wrong, that what's happening to America is a conspiracy. And then they go out somewhere else and they hear a little more. Maybe they end up in a Birch Society. Someone said, what do you think of the John Birch Society? I think God's used this for a great and tremendous awakening in America. Someone said, you have a war with the Birch Society? No, they can get up and attack me because we're way out in front of them. The only reason why they do it is because they got Jews inside among their organizers and inside their institution. And this organization will never finish its task until it gets every dragon seed out of its movement. But for the good which it has done and for the sign which it is, I can point out across America how in the last 10 years there has grown a vast wave of awakening. I can go back to the early days, even back in 1948. Outside of this ministry, there was only Gerald Smith and Conway McGinley and a very few that were saying anything or were reaching anybody. Probably no one put out as much literature in these years than Gerald Smith did, for he was a great forerunner of this great wave of awakening. Now this thing is a part of history, it's destiny and time. And everybody that serves God's kingdom will be attacked by the dragon, who has gained control through his economic administration of areas of communication. Thus the press, which falls to the advertiser or is bought up by the unscrupulous seed of evil, or television or radio, like the Bill Stout programs and others that are controlled and dominated by these forces, every time somebody pulls a string, these monkeys on a stick jump. No, I tell you that in these processes, the way of truth is evilly spoken of, the scripture tells us. But there's only one thing of importance here, and only one thing I want to get across to you concerning this importance. The only important avenue of approbation is the white race. The only important thing for you to do is wake up the 149 million white men that are in America. Don't worry about trying to work up the devil. You've already got him alert that you're here. He doesn't need any advice about this. I'll tell you how smart and cunning he is. You get to thinking a good thought, and he's got a demon right there to try to challenge the very areas of your thinking. Try to give you a guilt complex for believing God. You'd be surprised how many Christians run around with a guilt complex for believing God. The devil's been talking so fast on the areas of the radio and the television and been telling them they're anti-social if they dream of a white Christian America, or they dream of America white and free. Or if they believe that all Africans should end up in Africa and all Christians should rule America and all Jews should get out to wherever Jews like to go. And if you do that, you're not an American. You're antisocial. But you're just as American as Benjamin Franklin and George Washington. And that's pretty good. Someone said, Dr. Swift, we ought to leave these people alone once in a while. I'll leave them alone when the last one takes a ship from these United States. But the dragon has made war with my race in every generation. The dragon gathered the Amalekites and the hosts of his mongrelized Midian and Moab. The hosts of the dragon tried to destroy our society. In every era of its history, before the days of Moses and afterwards, the dragon made war to swallow up and destroy our race. And each time God empowered our leadership. And outnumbered though we were, we conquered and we won the battle because of God's interference. In fact, sometimes the great hosts of heaven invisible confused the enemy. Sometimes God dropped meteors on them, as he did at the Battle of Ai, when he told Joshua's armies to stop now and stand at this point. And they stood, and suddenly out of the air came meteorites that wiped out the enemy of God's people. And they're there to this day to testify as to that tremendous victory. Other times in the days of its leadership, even as it was in the days of Saul and the days of David, God said, now I give you the victory, pursue it utterly, and utterly exterminate and wipe out these devils. Get them out of earth and back in the plain they came from. They're no good here. And even great leaders of Israel would come right up to this point, and then some of them would stall. Not so much the prophets. You know, I'm kind of interested in this. I've been studying this rather carefully. I noticed that we had great warriors. Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000s for God. I noted that God said that David was a man after his own heart. But I also note that it is among the kings and the political rulers that they go soft at the last minute. And there's a few good-looking women and a few little ones that are cute. They spare them. And then they breed up and you got the same thing all over again. Do you know what I discovered? The clergy are not so easy. When God wanted to finish off the prophets of Baal, he took Elijah. Elijah the prophet had to lead the people, and then Elijah the prophet had to see their heads were cut off too. At least keep the people at work till the job's done. God sent his own chariot for Elijah, took him into his own presence and said, this is my special messenger. Behold, I send him again before the great day of the Lord. And this is what happened in the ministry of John the Baptist. And this again is what God is doing as he sends the spirit of Elijah upon his church, because the church, the true church, will still be the oracle of the cleansing of America. Now I point out to you that in the design, we discover that God does not want any devil seed left in the earth. That eventually all devil seed will be wiped out of the earth. And of those that have not been destroyed in the battles which they precipitate, will be gathered up by the administering spirits and carried out in the great fleets of God to a constellation of Arah, way out beyond the edge of the sidereal systems of the Milky Way. It's so far out there that it's one of the littlest of all of the constellations. And when you look on a star globe and look on a sky map, you see that constellation of Arah way out there, way out on the edge, in the edge of the darkness. And that's where God's going to put these people to have to produce and get along with themselves for a long, long, long period of time. And I'm not going to worry about it. Now, I point out that God said concerning these people, I have a war. Now, this is God talking. He says, I have a war with these Amalekites from generation to generation. I have a permanent war with Agag and the Amalekites. Now you say, well, surely somebody can come along and arbitrate between God and these seed of Satan. Not as long as they're in the earth where they don't belong, fighting the children of God's kingdom. Someone said, well, we're going to get over that war now. We've got a great big organization known as the Organization for Reconciliation of Christians and Jews. My friends, that outfit's not going to get you out. It's going to get you in deep. But while they talk about reconciliation of Christians and Jews, they design the liquidation of your race, the mongrelization of your seed, and the destruction of your churches. I point out that the strategy of the enemy today, the battle of the dragon, is to try to destroy the great spiritual alertness of the spiritual life center of the worshiping sons of God. So they want to destroy the church. I can think of no more heinous design than the program of evil to destroy the church. When it gains supreme power in a country like the Soviet Union, it liquidates the church. And in a country like this, it seeks to put its own satanic seed in the pulpits and then influence the people by the proclamations of the dragon instead of the proclamations of God. In a country like this, it seeks to elect by the power of its purse and by the pagan patterns of its influence men who, when they get in power, will appoint dragon seed to positions of responsibility. And I challenge whether he knows it or not, that the present president of the United States has appointed more children of the dragon to places of administration in this great eagle nation that has ever existed in all of its history in positions of power. Then he in turn does the job of trying to gather the hordes of the pagans and to swallow you up, even trying to force your integration, and through the participation in the United Nations and its plan, they want to mongrelize all nations and pack all Christian nations with seed of Africa and Asia, control the change of the balance of your population till you can't even vote to protect yourself, and then eventually absorb you. Well, thank God we have a blueprint here concerning the United Nations. We're going to talk to you next Sunday night on the end of the United Nations. There's a blueprint for that. And I'm going to tell you that one of these days there's not going to be any United Nations. I'll tell you that now. But you'll never see the day when the emblem of this great eagle goes out of sight. Now listen. In the program of God's plan, he tells us of their strategies. The book of Revelation tells us that they wage an economic war on us, working their evil pattern of usury and of fraud. That they seek to gain control of the gold and the silver, of the areas of jewelry, and seek to master every great industrial orbit of production. The scriptures tell us that they seek to gain such economic control that even the puppets they use by their edicts will not permit people to buy or sell except they have their approbation. Only people whose mind thinks like they do and whose hands work to support their program will be given the opportunity of handling the transactions of business. This is what it means when it talks about this area of the mark of the beast, how far that without the mark of the forehead and the palm of the hand, nobody will buy or sell. know, a lot of people looking around looking at people's hands. They're saying, well, we can't be at the end of the age yet. I don't see that mark in there. Well, my friends, look, watch what they do. Best way to see what the mark of the hand is to see what the thinking of the head is. Is that mark in the... Whoever thought the day would come when a president of the United States would denounce a Christian leader as far as they have the capacity to go inside of an Oriental land in favor of Buddhists and idolaters. But if that's funny, whoever thought you'd hear the day when a pope would oppose a Roman Catholic in favor of a Buddhist? These are the strange hours. But these are the hours of marked time and measure. I want you to know that we are battling against a dragon whose design is the conquest of America and then the liquidation, after he has gained his power, of the areas of his opposition. This is a part of that battle. The enemy therefore seeks every political area of influence. He seeks to gain into every area economic influence. But his master strategy calls for the brutalization of your race. Now, the laws of God are quite clear. The laws of the church, whether they come from Northern Europe or from Southern Europe, have always followed out the direction of God's laws. The positions of his holy church, irrespective of his denomination, has always been against sexual depravity, mongrelization, and brutism. It has always been against every area of degeneration in human society, and yet the dragon seed sells that degeneration and depravity today. When we just open up the areas of pornographic literature and the areas of the dope control, we end up each time with powerful and influential Jews in your society. When we move into the areas of seeking to destroy the mind of man, more triangulated evil smut has been put out into the minds of children in the guise of entertainment through the motion picture industry and through pornographic literature than by any other process. I'm totally disgusted with men I consider to be on the phony side, like Billy Graham, when they go over to the motion picture industry, as he did the other night and spoke at that big banquet, which is supposed to be for the motion picture industry's program for taking care of the aged in the motion picture industry. Now, what did Billy Graham say? Here he had the Danny Kays and the Jack Bennies and all these dudes around him. He never mentioned the name of Jesus Christ once over there. Not once. Then he went down us a little bit farther. Not only didn't mention the name of Jesus Christ once, but he said, this is the greatest industry in America to take care of its own. Then went a little farther on and said, there's one thing that it exemplifies, a great program of working brotherhood, and I love it. This is what I call a phony testimony. Someone said you have to attain a great status of greatness before they'll invite you. You have to attain the status of having a large audience to hypnotize. You know what we have today? Great massive demonstrations of mass psychology, which are being used today to sell a propaganda of darkness. The industry totally is working for the final integration of all peoples. The strategy of the swallowing up of the dragon is to accomplish this. You know, this has been quite a hectic day throughout the South. You know that Negro mobs have been battling the police in Birmingham. They had to shoot two niggers tonight. Attacking the police department and violence on every hand as they get out of hand. And so there's a battle on and the struggle's going on. Mr. Kennedy is the responsible area for this trouble. If he was not led and guided by the strange bunch of schmoos he'd appointed, there'd be no trouble tonight in Birmingham or Oxford or any other part of these United States. I'm going to call your attention to the final hours of truth as they show up in periodicals. I have in my hands United States News for this week, September 16th issue. I turn to page 96, Chicago Story. After Negroes move in, the trials of a community. The story is written by Dr. Engel. Dr. Engel is a professor from the University of Chicago, which, of course, is surrounded by the Hyde Park area, and who, when the Negroes started to move in, the faculty decided maybe they ought to move. So you see, these fellows are not all for this propaganda that the university puts out. Well, It tells us how the answer now, or they provide one answer to the question. For this was supposed to be the shining example of racial harmony. All Hyde Park was to be integrated. Now it was formerly a white neighborhood. Mr. Dingell says, and he's a scientist, the chairman of the Department of Psychology. I like this. He's the chairman of the Department of Psychology at Chicago University. So if we're not talking about somebody they want to disqualify. They generally never want to disqualify a psychologist. But this man's honest, and I look at his picture and I see he's white here too. The neighborhood described in this biography, he said, I went to see the elephant, published by Vantage Press. It tells how, as this heavily infiltrated area today is Negro slums. Dr. Ingo said that the whites joined with the Negro leaders several years ago in an effort to halt the blight that was threatening the very future of the university itself. So they started the evaluation. Campaigning was made by the whites and the Negroes to clean up the neighborhood. The churches all worked to bring about a great area of brotherly interchange of society. That everybody would be treated as an equal. Everybody had an equal opportunity. And he said, this is what I found. That after all these years of trying to campaign to clean up the neighborhood and to accept Negroes as they came in, the neighborhood became unsafe for my wife and daughters. Broken glass and debris and filth litters our sidewalks, and narcotic addicts and strange characters are everywhere. I have contempt, said the scientist, for the individual who spent time working to redevelop Hyde Park because I have witnessed what's happened. He tells of how the homeowners of both races for blocks around organized to try to keep it clean. There were just three or four Negro homeowners that tried to do this too, he said. But then there was whole areas of Negroes that immediately took their house and divided it up to make room for dozens more Negroes until they had a crowded tenement out of every home. And then they not only spent this money on booze, but he said all kinds of Negroes crowded in until their families had no room to live in order to pool money to buy a Cadillac. Now, this is United States News. This is the chairman of psychology talking. Now, he says, that immediately we had these tenement houses where homes had existed. And here we discover what transpires. In a city like Chicago, it's impossible to stop the conversion illegally of these buildings into mass apartments or into houses packed with people. Now they produce slums. And some of the unscrupulous real estate men, themselves Negroes, and others of them from New York, who were even worse. So in this instance, why, they helped the Negroes develop this slum. And now, here, Dr. Ingo says, is what's happened to my community. Robbery, rape, stabbings, and murder have become common in Hyde Park with the increase of the Negroes. Purse snatching and the thieving and dope addiction also is the result. Buildings in our neighborhood are centers for the distribution of narcotics. My wife and my daughters are not permitted to go without escort after dusk on the streets of this university neighborhood. A number of my friends have been the victims of robbery and attack. Little children are beaten or robbed between home and school in the daytime. My lawn is littered with empty whiskey bottles thrown there by the Negroes into the driveway. They are broken many times. My tires are slashed. A storage garage is in the alley and back of our place. Crowds of Negro men hang around there, loudly talking with such obscenity day and night that one can hardly sleep. Therefore, also, colored men and boys stand on all street corners making lewd remarks against every girl or woman that walks by. Prostitution is flourishing in the Negro homes all around. Now, this is the psychologist that we did our best. We tried to mix it together. We tried it out. It doesn't work. They're a cesspool of society. Someone said, you don't like Negroes? Haven't anything against Negroes, dogs, or elephants, but I don't want them in my society. I do not believe that they are qualified to become a part of your social order. He talks about the trouble with the university has become so intense that the faculty is moving away. Many of them want to move the university. And now they are talking about the forced integration and equal housing rights, and whole areas are going to move out. The neighborhood now has become contemptuously anti-Negro. The crime rise in the neighborhood has raised the blood of the whites, and the whites are turning against the Negroes. The filth in the streets, the danger to their children, the obscenity, the cruel, raw sociological problem which is now being visited here have demonstrated that Negroes all must go, good or bad, for the white does not want them here anymore. I only add this closing sentence. I now know that desegregation cannot be achieved, nor can true integration do any good. The rest can coexist with racial hatred, but it will never bring about mutual respect. It is sowing trouble. So the dragon is trying to sell America on creating out of beautiful America this slum development in all your environment. Of course, we've got a governor that's going along with that, and an attorney general that's going along with that, and we've got a slavish legislature that should be every one of them removed who go along with this kind of life because they never lived in it. The dragon makes war. It's time you started making war against the dragon. I personally believe the time has come when true Christians should work for the deportation and the recolonization of all Negroes in Africa. I don't know anybody that is more anti-Negro than a Negro that thinks he's discriminated against because he has to live with Negroes. Now our forefathers had some intelligent ideas about this. They had immigration laws. Immigration laws are the most profound laws of discrimination on society's tablet. They are designed to preserve a status quo. God's laws are designed to prepare the status of his kingdom. We are not in any way backward in supporting the areas of development of people. We believe that your race alone has the answers to the problem that affects mankind everywhere. But the human race must never mutate its society with the beast orders. There is nothing wrong with instructing and training these people on how to produce food and how to develop a better area of civilization and environment. But remember, they require your leadership because without it, they do not have the initiative to carry on. The program for the earth is the kingdom, administration, rule, righteousness, and the law. And the law shall go out of Zion. And they're going to obey the law. These Hottentots are going to obey the law. These Mau Maus are going to either stop attacking white people, and cannibals are going to stop eating people, or they're not going to be here to cause any trouble. Now someone talks about race hatred. Hatred is one of the most elusive words in English language. If you stand up for truth and righteousness, the preservation of your own culture, if you want to live with your own kind, if you want to develop the kind of society that God has directed you to develop, they say that's hatred instead of accepting divine guidance. So we tell you that inevitably we face this fact, that as we are now challenged, and your country admits it, your president admits that there's problems. We're talking about fighting Chinamen over in Vietnam, communists and agents. We talk about fighting the hordes of the darkness, but we surrender to them to keep the world safe from trouble. We take away the power to retaliate against the enemy, and we take away and deny ourselves the power to use the tactical weapons we've developed. Because we want to save future generations from the terrible catastrophe we say is going to happen if we don't. I think when the president last week said, our children and our children's children, we'll either thank you or curse you for this day if you don't pass this test ban. And every expert knows that if we pass this test ban, we'll never be able to develop an immunity against an electronic condition out of these bombs that throw the nerve center out of our whole defense system. Members of our Air Force Association are against the ban. Great military leaders were against the ban. Admiral Anderson comes out to show the evils of what this whole thing's about. Now the president wants to break him because he had the courage to tell the truth. And I tell you that we are faced with one of the strangest pieces of hypnotism in history. We're not avoiding Armageddon. We're just softening ourselves up to take a much terrible reaction, the tremendous impact of the first blow. I'm going to tell you that because you do reduce these abilities to fight, because you do cut back on the great areas of the weapon strength you could have, the enemy's going to move against you with his hordes. The hordes of Red China and Asia are going to come against the United States and come against the Christian nations like a flood. They're going to even get in their foot into Alaska, and some of them are going to be parachuting down to Canada and in some of the back country of the United States, and they're going to try to mount the coast of the earth with an invasion. You say, how do you know? Because it tells me that after God joins us in this operation and the technology that we use destroy their great coast, that it's going to take us 9 months with our bulldozers and our earth movers to bury the dead here in our own countries of the enemy. Yes, the children of this generation are going to remember that instead of battling the enemy on his home ground, we let him get his foot on our shores. You know, one of the things today that they are trying to stifle? The identity of the mastermind behind the dragon machine. This is why I tell you tonight that the sons of the dragon are the sons of Satan. The sons of the dragon are the mastermind of this war, internally and externally, against you. God Almighty has pointed out here in the book of Revelation that only the defeat of this power is the victory of God's kingdom. Now don't start to talk to me about a Jewish tailor down the street and said he never got into this at all, but he's putting out his money into this ADL and this American Jewish Congress and into all this Jewish revolution. If anything went down, you'd discover he was on their side. And as it wasn't Hungary and these other places, he'd be the commissar in the local block. Is there anything wrong with being Christian? Is there anything wrong between being so pro-Christian that you want to see this great nation, where we're the majority, have Christian officers and Christian representatives in our defense and our security and our industry and our money in the hands of Christian administration? If this is wrong, then this is the way it's going to be, because it's the thing that God planned, and it's only wrong in the sight of a world order that doesn't want to lose power. So I tell you tonight that war against the dragon is inevitable. This war is going to mount up. There is going to be the great impact of their racial attempts to create the upheaval in your society so that emergency legislation and martial law can be taken over by presidential edicts. But the one thing they haven't counted on is that America is becoming alert. All the incidents of news are kept back from one area of the country to the other. I have so many pieces of news that are sent to me from all over America that I realize how much control of news there is. That none of the great crimes and the murders and the attacks against white people show up in the local paper. Last week, there were groups and gangs of Negroes walking the streets of San Francisco and around its parks, and they were attacking white people, and they were robbing them and assaulting them, but if a police car came back, they were just orderly fellows walking down the street. And as soon as the police car got back, they attacked again. I got a clipping out of one of the San Francisco papers. What did it say? It said, mischievous gangs of youth disturbed the population of San Francisco and roughed up some people the other night. And it is to be hoped that areas of this delinquency will soon pass away under the tensions of racial crisis and disturbance. So these Negroes raped, robbed, and were marauders on the street. It wasn't anything in your papers, but the local paper said that their poor, disturbed minds, the result of the racial crisis, and this was a mischievous activity. Mischievous activity. The other day, Negroes shot down a service station attendant for apparently no reason at all and fled away. He got the license number down, wrote it on the leg of his uniform, and identified the car, said they were black men. They caught two out of the three of the murderers that just shot him down because they just didn't like white men. This is in Bell Gardens. This thing goes on all over, but you have to go back some days to page 5 of the newspaper to find a column on it. You're in hours of trouble. In this last week, in Dragon War, just a week ago, 40 blocks of the city of San Diego had to be sealed off because of the design of these forces of Mau Mau leaders and the Muhammad X movement that was going to start a war. And all the law enforcement officers and all of the shore patrol and everything else was alerted to this war. And somebody tipped off the Mau Mau forces of what was coming. And so they loaded up their equipment and car after car left the neighborhood because it was ringed with police in San Diego. But you don't suppose that'll show up in a Birmingham newspaper, do you? You don't suppose they let that show up in New York, do you? Or you can't find out what's happening in Detroit tonight. Because they want silence. But I'm going to tell you what they have not discovered as yet. That God is stimulating and awakening his people in such a way that they are prepared and are preparing to defend themselves. The hour when the Antichrist tries his internal upheaval, he's going to be defeated here for the greatest catastrophe of destruction against the host of darkness in all history. Now, if given the opportunity, and law and order could be restored, normalcy would be approached, the white race would do everything in its power to develop the areas of Negro betterment. But the white race is more determined tonight than ever before that it doesn't want to absorb them and it doesn't want to intermarry with them. The curse of God rests on those that instruct them thus to do. I have pointed out to you to the past, to Jesus, that St. Peter, that the book of Jude talks about this as the way of Balaam, and it was a catastrophe that God actually sent destruction on all the advocators of it and all that participated in it. I just want to challenge you tonight that if you love these United States, if you want to see the preservation of your nation, if you want to see the liberation of the world from the powers of darkness and the forces of evil, if you want to see the kingdom of God come in, then remember that it comes in through victory over evil. Not acquiescence. Someone said, we all ought to get off in the corner and pray. One evangelist the other day said, if all the Christians would get over and pray that all of these people would get converted, he says the country would be saved in a day. Let me tell you something. If all the Christians in the world dropped down their knees to pray, you couldn't convert one Jew. Because if you could have converted them, Jesus would have converted them. God walked among them and didn't convert any of them. Had one that was one of the disciples for 3 years and he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Think that over now. A Jew walked with God and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And if the ministry of God had that little impact upon the life of Judas, there is no solution other than their removal and defeat in these United States. Someone said, you can't advocate this, it's not American. It's perfectly American to deport these people for dual allegiance. Even the State Department said that they had dual allegiance both in Israeli and here when the Israeli oppressed an American Jewish citizen into the service of their armies. I wish they'd impress them all in the service of their armies. There's one place where you don't generally find a Jew, and that's where there's a fight. He always has somebody else doing most of that fighting. And when they somehow land in the army, they get in the quartermaster's corps, the medical corps, but you never find them out in front. And if the medical corps is moving into a hot area, they're always far, far back in some far behind hospital. The quartermaster's corps has been the most lucrative place for them. Someone commented the other day on why there's so many few six-pointed stars inside of our cemeteries where our heroes are. And that reason is that there wasn't very many of them died, that's all. But I'll tell you what they did do. They secretly have set up whole rows of phony stars in some of our cemeteries to give the impression that there were a lot of Jewish dead. Of course, there's nothing new about that. I tell you that the dragon seed were greater in number at the end of World War II than they were at the beginning. And they tried to tell the world that 6 million of them were burned up in ovens. And the 6 million walked the streets of the United States, and they're down in Brazil, and they're in Mexico, and all over the world. I want to say this, that God's pattern for causing the earth to recognize his God is the victory over communism and over its evil, the cleansing of his Christian nations, cleansing again their blood, and removing these forces of darkness from their land. And the war that started in the heavens is not over until the sons of God that Lucifer would not announce had defeated Lucifer in this earth where he now resides. So I said, what is going to happen to these offspring of the enemy? They're going to be put back into the order from whence they've come, and after the ages to come, they bow the knee and serve as thy servants in the hosts, before the hosts of heaven, in the ages to come. In the meantime, when they move against you, the best way to eradicate the problem is put them back in the dimension from whence they came. And I tell you tonight, I do not pray for the enemy. I pray for the kingdom. Jesus said, I pray not for the world. I pray for those thou hast given me. Thine they are, mine they are. None of them are lost, except Satan's own son, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Someone said, the church going out? No, the church is going to rise in the greatest blaze of glory of all time and history. Your race is going to be empowered with greater spiritual power than it's ever known. And it's going to cleanse its society. And this is a bad time for an enemy of God's kingdom before you've gotten through the next few years. I think God will take some of them out of the way. I think there'll be a lot of names missing by the next election. Because I think that God will call time, will send in the remover of the unprofitable branches and prune the tree. We urge you to remember this. Here and across the nation, you can never fight the dragon till you know who's doing his work, who constitute his household, his minions. Do not let someone frighten you from this truth. Do not let them create a semantics of ignorance or illusion. Lift up the standard of God and know that only the children of God are your brothers and your sisters of the household of God that can say, Our Father, which art in heaven. We'll be speaking tomorrow night in San Francisco, Native Sons Auditorium. Tuesday night, Key System Auditorium in Oakland, 11th and Hattison. Wednesday night in Santa Clara, an auditorium which all those that will be attending that meeting have been notified concerning in that area, San Jose area. Speaking next Thursday in San Diego and back here next Friday night as we cover the blueprint of world events as they relate to biblical prophecy. Never has there been a period where this is more vital for us to know and to understand the things that we are passing through in its proper place in the perspective of prophecy. So we will cover the world events next Friday night as they relate to you, to the program of God, to the pattern of your race. Speaking next Sunday afternoon, an area which is most vital, the seal of God. This is most important, but as the mark of the beast has cast its mark, there is also the seal of God upon his children. This is our subject for next Sunday afternoon. And do not forget that never have we had a period where it's more important for us to bring people in contact with truth. This is the last of the summer weekends before school resumes all over the Southland. Let's see this place, an auditorium filled. Tell others about it. Moving into 46,000 tapes, we urge each one of you with your tithes and offerings to hold up our hand. We have had to support a large part of the tape investment of the last few weeks because we need more tithes and offerings through these summer weeks. But now we're moving into the fall with an expanding program, and we've been sending out more tape instead of less every week. We urge you to hold up our hands with your tithes and your offerings. We go through the processes of having to meet expense in transportation, in fields of staff, and in the development of the expanding tape program. We need your support. We urge every tape listener with your tithes and your offerings to help us reach more and more people here and throughout the world. This is a great vital hour where we must tell it, tell it, tell it. We stimulate every one of you to call upon your congressman to investigate the Federal Register and the tyrannical decrees for dictatorship that have been placed there by the President of the United States. If America is to be free, we've got to be free from one-man dictatorship just written into law by his own whim. This is the church's responsibility to hold up the standards of the kingdom and demand that our freedom be guaranteed by our representatives. And if they're not going to help us, then, my friends, we'll have to get some new ones. We will try every constitutional way to stay free, and then we'll write a new constitution out of the power of the people, if that freedom is not assured by our representatives. So this is the time to tell it, tell it, tell it. As we take this offering tonight, we urge you with your tithes and offerings to hold up our hands and help us reach people with truth. Almighty and eternal Father, we invoke the young to thy Holy Spirit to rest upon this offering and upon this people. Guide them in their giving. Multiply this gift to reach the spreading of the gospel of thy kingdom, the great work of thy church. Pray thy blessing to rest upon each household represented, supplying their needs. In thy name we ask it. Amen.